some new laws for the new year. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Let's start off in California, where beginning today, an additional 2 million workers will have access to expanded family leave. Businesses with between 20 and 50 employees will be required to give workers up to 12 weeks of unpaid time off after childbirth, adoption, or foster care placement. And their jobs will be protected. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
California already has a paid family leave program available to workers at medium-sized companies, but lots of people don't take advantage of it. One reason? They're afraid.
They won't have a job to come back to when they re-enter the labor force.
That's Eileen Applebaum with the Center for Economic and Policy Research. She says the new law will help fix broken patterns of employment that can hold employees back.
It's like being on an escalator and always getting on the first step.
Erin Gable is with First Five California, which advocates for families. The California Chamber of Commerce fought the law, calling it a job killer. But Gable says it could benefit businesses who won't have to keep replacing workers.
And they're more likely to be retained long term by that business, thus avoiding unnecessary recruitment and retraining costs that can be an incredible bottom line killer.
California joins four states and the District of Columbia in offering what's known as paid parental bonding leave. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And it's a new year, and a new series of tax rules just came into effect. One of those rules is of particular interest to university athletic departments, namely getting rid of the deduction that, until now, you could take on donations made to secure college sports season tickets. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Roger Norris, an Alabama Crimson Tide fan, recently got an email from the school's athletic department. It suggested he make his annual contribution before December 31st, because that money, 80% tax deductible last year, wouldn't be in 2018. Tom McMillan is president of the Lead One Association, whose members include 130 athletic directors. They're worried.
You know, if it costs you $5,000 to buy your season tickets, will that deter you if you don't get a deduction?
Early estimates say donations could drop 20-30%, but Richard Schmalbeck, a law professor at Duke who makes similar contributions himself, says the change is overdue.
The notion that you should not be allowed a deduction for contributions that buy something, namely in this case seating privileges, is really just a sound tax policy argument.
The tax change may not hurt sports like college football and basketball, which draw in big bucks anyway, but it's more problematic for sports like swimming or softball. Even so, athletic departments ask some donors to send in cash for several years up front, before the end of 2017. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Just kidding. Global markets are closed for the holiday today. Happy New Year to everyone. But if we look back at 2017, the markets were certainly up. The S&P had its best year since 2013, up 19.4%. The NASDAQ ended the year up 28.2%, crossing the 6,000 mark for the first time in April. And one of President Trump's favorite numbers to tweet, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, finished 2017 up as well. The 30 company average ended the year up 25.1%. In global markets, Japan's Nikkei gained 19.1% this year, and the London FTSE ended up 7.6%. Now that we've looked back at the economy in 2017, let's look ahead. Just today, we're seeing protests in Iran, not-so-subtle threats from North Korea, and a host of other issues likely to influence the global economy. Geopolitical intelligence firm Stratfor has released its annual report forecasting which big stories are likely to influence world politics and markets. For some insights, I'm joined by Riva Gujan. She's the Vice President of Global Analysis at Stratfor Worldview. Good morning.
Good morning, Kimberly. Happy to be here.
What's ahead for the global economy in 2018?
Well, to start, we're looking at a tepid global economic recovery, but a lot of geopolitical risk overlaying that recovery. So everything from a potential North Korea military crisis to the Iran nuclear deal hanging by a thread, heavy debt burdens in China and Italy, the threat of a global trade war. There's just a lot of risk to assess here.
And your report basically calls the United States and the White House's trade agenda protectionist. What does a protectionist America look like in what is a pretty integrated global economy?
in rhetoric, it's much more aggressive. And we are seeing actions that are more unilateral in nature. So we've seen, you know, we'll see the reviews on Section 301 concerning intellectual property and forced technology transfers on China. There's Section 232 investigation with an intent to restrict steel imports on national security grounds. Those are the kinds of moves we're seeing out of this administration, as well as an impulse to renegotiate existing trade pacts. Now, NAFTA, of course, is hugely consequential. There's also intent to renegotiate the U.S.'s trade pact with South Korea. You know, if you were to look at a worst case scenario of the U.S. unilaterally withdrawing from either one, South Korea would have that higher risk. It doesn't have the same level of supply chain integration as you see with NAFTA. It doesn't have the same lobbying clout in the United States as, say, the Mexicans and the Canadians do.
The Trump administration has talked a great deal about pursuing bilateral trade agreements as opposed to multilateral agreements. Are we seeing the consequence of this shift in priorities already?
We are. You know, a lot of countries are looking at the administration. They're seeing a more unilateral approach toward trade, a willingness to go outside of the bounds of the WTO and holding countries like China accountable for their unique brand of state market capitalism. And so other countries are going to watch that. They're going to have to prepare for the worst. You'll see this continued frenzy toward trying to make more progress in what have been long stagnant free trade negotiations. Every country is going to be hedging against one another, whether they're calling themselves allies or not.
Riva Gujan is the Vice President of Global Analysis for Stratfor Worldview. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Reports. From APM, American Public Media.